Well, the defense ministers of Japan, Australia, and Indonesia held their first ever trilateral talks this week. And last week, when Japan's defense minister Shinjiro Koizumi was in Canberra, he and Richard Marles announced a new dimension of the increasing defense cooperation between Australia and Japan, the potential use of Australian testing ranges to trial Japanese hypersonic missiles. The Woomera Range Complex in South Australia is the largest land-based test range in the world, and America reportedly tested an advanced hypersonic weapon there in March this year. Joining us to discuss these developments is Dr. Donna Weeks, Emeritus Professor at Musashino University, Tokyo. Good morning, Dr. Weeks.
Good morning, Julian.
Now, Minister Koizumi said testing Japanese weapons in Australia would be a groundbreaking development. Do you agree? And if so, why?
Well, probably groundbreaking in several reasons.
Well, indeed.
Very, very good ones. Look, they're still talking about writing up a framework for cooperation, so they're not quite there yet. Obviously, one of the reasons would be in Japan, there's just simply not the physical land space to do that. So this is yet another, you know, development, in, as you said, of the, well, you called it the defence cooperation, I called it the militarisation of Japan in the region, and, you know, the way that the Australian government has sort of enabled that over the last, specifically the last 10 or so years, but probably a little bit further back than that.
Yes, I wondered, could you put this announcement into context by describing those broader trends in Japan's defence spending and the evolution of its defence policy?
Well, certainly. And look, I should probably declare my interests here for transparency purposes. My part of my role at Musashino University is to teach peace studies. I come from the very opposite end of greater militarisation. We're looking at ways to secure the world in a more peaceful format, and my work focuses very much on Article 9 of the Constitution, the so-called Peace Clause, and my work with peace organisations, both researching and, you know, participating as an observer in Japan, and that important, still very important domestic view that Japan should not remilitarize. So this is why we're in a very interesting time in Japan. There's a question of the will of the people versus what the governments want to keep pursuing. Now, Article 9, just to return to that briefly, is a clause in the Constitution that says Japan shall never have any military capability and shall not declare war. Now, this is subject under now Takaichi's government, perhaps to an amendment, a referendum that's required to change the constitution. So this, so they've got around all that over the years with various legislation along the way. Excuse me.
That's fine. On Sunday Extra, we are speaking with Dr. Donna Weeks, Emeritus Professor at Musashino University, Tokyo, about the developments in Japanese and Australian defence policy and cooperation. And I think, Dr. Weeks, you were flagging there the possibility of a change to, I think you were saying that the constitutional limits have been sort of skirted around through legislative means. Is that right?
Yes. That's right, and while the article itself remains unchanged, this is sort of the cause of much tensions domestically, as successive conservative governments want to have that article changed through referendum, and a lot of people don't. I've said in other contexts that it's similar to, although a different sort of thing, but it's similar to the sort of, in terms of national identity, to the Republican debate in Australia, whether we should change our constitution. It's that level of you know, people are very pro and very anti. And so any time that, you know, the Japanese government tries to force more militarization on Japan, you know, there's a lot of people domestically who are very opposed to that. You know, there's huge protests and so on that are going on. Now, my interest in Japan's security started way back in the 1990s. You might recall that decade where we thought, aha, you know, there are different ways. You know, the end of the Cold War, Japan had for a long time this notion of what are called comprehensive security, which was, for me, interesting in a way that you could secure the nation without having a strong military force. Where I lived in Tokyo, you know, there were a few small training areas and so on for what was the self-defense force, but no one ever really knew about them. Now I still stay in the same area in Tokyo and they're much more prominent. So there's there is this growing sense that Japan is remilitarized. And that, of course, causes tensions within the region and, you know, a lot of the other ramifications that we're seeing at the moment.
Yes, we've been talking about the expansion of Australian and Japanese defense cooperation. Are there parallels to the evolution of the defense relationship with Australia and Japan's other bilateral regional relationships?
Look, it's interesting. I think, as we're aware, Minister Koizumi headed straight to India after he visited Canberra last week. And now, interestingly, both Australia and India are part of what's called the Quad, which was an organisation that came together before AUKUS. Now, with AUKUS, of course, you know, India and Japan are excluded from that, so I sometimes wonder if Australia is kind of peddling really hard to keep India and Japan on side because of AUKUS. But that's, you know, another discussion we probably don't have time for. So it was interesting to look at the memorandums that came out from the Indian and Japanese defence ministers meeting. Similar sort of template in some ways, but there's a much greater concern about making sure the sea lanes to Japan are safe. Talk of increasing defence development and cooperation there as well. And looking at India's ability to, you know, the shipbuilding industry and so on there as further elements of cooperation. Mm-hmm. So Japan is, as the government, the Japanese government is saying, is trying to ensure regional security. And I guess for a lot of us in this area, it's what our definition of security revolves around that we need to think about.
Yeah, Japan and Australia's defence cooperation is not inconsistent with each nation's alliance with America, but does this defence cooperation really reflect decreased confidence by both Australia and Japan in the US alliance?
Look, that's a really interesting and important question to be asking. I think, you know, with the current state of the United States, obviously nations all around the world are rethinking these sorts of alliances. I think at the moment with Takaichi, you've got a very strong supporter of Donald Trump, and she's not going to want to change things there. You know, Donald Trump's sanctioning of the ICC president, Akane, earlier in the month, you know, Takaichi said, oh, well, you know, it's not really what we would think in terms of, you know, the international law and so on. But people were annoyed that she didn't come out more strongly. So I think while ever Takaichi is there, and we have to remember there are many, many US bases in Japan as well. And so, and that's often a source of contention between Donald Trump and you know, wherever US bases are, do the hosting nations ever pay enough? Look, Takaichi isn't going to seek to change the nature of the US relationship at the moment. Other people certainly do. You know, a lot of people are opposed to those developments, but very much so. She's going to keep that strong. And you know, Australia under AUKUS is also still tending that way. You know, in my work has sort of looked at over the years a way for Australia and Japan to ease away from that alliance and, you know, within the Asia-Pacific region here, establish a really important sense of comprehensive security that both countries could contribute to a greater sense of stability. I mean, I don't know about you, Julian, but over these years, as we've increased our so-called security in the region. I think there's a strong sense of insecurity amongst everybody in terms of, bigger budgets for missiles and things.
And I think the euphemism of the defence minister's communication was the increasingly complex security environment in the Indo-Pacific, which is clearly code for concern about China. Donna, what is the current state of relations between China and Japan?
Oh, look, that's an even more complex relationship than we have with Australia and Japan. Over the many years that I've worked in Japan, there's a couple of different levels. I mean, there's the political level, the diplomatic level that we see a lot here with the antagonisms between the two. Economically, there's a lot of cooperation. And on the people-to-people level, where I've had in my classrooms students from China and Taiwan, from South Korea, all together in the classroom with Japanese students, all getting on perfectly well. There was a delegation earlier in the week, a three-person cross-party delegation. In fact, it was the first time that there'd been such a political approach by parliamentarians from Japan since Takeuchi's comments about Taiwan last year, which has set a really difficult moment in the relationship between Japan and China. For her to sort of say that she would help, and obviously through the US alliance, but assist Taiwan militarily at any point. Now, she hasn't backed down from that. The Chinese government is not happy that she hasn't. And so these three parliamentarians went to visit, bureaucrats, think tanks, researchers and others. And interestingly, one of the members of that delegation was, in fact, a former diplomat in the Japanese embassy in Beijing. So obviously someone with a lot of insight and a lot of wanting to try and amend the relationship. So the pro and anti-China streams in particularly the ruling party, the Liberal Democratic Party, have been around ever since I can remember, going right back to the 70s and rapprochement in 72. It goes up and down. Obviously, there's a lot of annoyance and tension and anger on the part of China, similarly with some of the more hardline people in Japan. But, I guess it's more hopeful than than anything that they will be able to maintain some semblance of regional security.
Well, no doubt the complexity of the security environment in the Indo-Pacific will continue and be well worth watching. Dr. Donna Weeks, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra this morning.
Thank you for inviting me on, Julian. Much appreciated.
And Donna is Emeritus Professor at Musashino University in Tokyo.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.